samupataye pranatastana nugyata pravivesha mahavilam. Shri Shukuvacha, Shri Shukadev Goswami said, Adhyam, the order, Bhagavataha, of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Rajan, O King, Maharaja Parikshit, Prarada, Maharaj Prahlad, Balina Saha, accompanied by Bali Maharaj. Vadam, yes sir, what you say is all right. Iti thus, Amala Pratyaha, Prahlad Maharaj, who had clear intelligence, Murdi on his head, Adaya accepting, Kritahanjadahi with folded hands, Parikramya after circumambulating, Adipurusham the Supreme Original Person, Bhagavan, Sarva Asura Chamu Pataki, the master of all the chiefs of the demons, Pranataha, after offering obeisances, Tat Anugyataha, being permitted by him, Lord Vamana. Ravivesha entered Mahabhidham, the planet known as Sutala. So, translation, Sri Shukadev Goswami said, accompanied by Bali Maharaj, my dear King Parikshit, Prahlad Maharaj, the master of all the chiefs of the demons, took the Supreme Lord's order on his head with folded hands. After saying yes to the Lord, circumambulating him and offering him respectful obeisances, he entered the lower planetary system known as Sutala. So there's no purport to the next text, so we'll just read the next text with its translation.
Atahushana samrajan narir narayano narayano tike asinam revicham mukke sadasi brahmavadinam.
Hari, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayan, thereafter addressed Shukracharya, who was sitting nearby in the midst of the assembly with the priests, that is the Brahma, Hota, Ugata, and Advaryu. That's the name of the different types of priests. O Maharaj Parikshit, these priests were all Brahmavadis, followers of the Vedic principles for performing sacrifices. So, text 14.
Brahman santanu shishasya karma chitram vitanvatka yattat karma chuvaisham yang Brahma drishtam samam bhavet.
O best of the Brahmins, Shukracharya, please describe the fault or discrepancy. This is Lord Vishnu speaking. The fault or discrepancy in your disciple, Bali Maharaj, who engaged in performing sacrifices. This fault will be nullified when judged in the presence of qualified Brahmanas. So, purport. By His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. When Bali Maharaj and Prahlad Maharaj had departed for the planet Sutala, Lord Vishnu asked Shukracharya what fault was in Bali Maharaj, for which Shukracharya had cursed him. It might be argued that since Bali Maharaj had now left the scene, how could his faults be judged? In reply to this, Lord Vishnu informed Shukracharya that there was no need for Bali Maharaj's presence, for his faults and discrepancies could be nullified if judged before the brahmanas. As will be seen in the next verse, Bali Maharaj had no fault, Shukracharya had unnecessarily cursed him. And nonetheless, this was better for Bali Maharaj, being cursed by Shukracharya. Bali Maharaj was deprived of all his possessions with the result that the Supreme Personality of Godhead favored him for his strong faith and devotional service. Of course, a devotee is not required to engage in fruitive activities, as stated in the Shastra, Sarvarhanam Atyuteja, that's from the Bhagavatam, 4th Canto, 31st verse, text 14. By worshipping Achyuta, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one satisfies everyone. Because Bali Maharaj had satisfied the Supreme Personality of Godhead, there were no discrepancies in his performance of sacrifice. So, Omagana Timadanda Shah Gavanjana Shlakaya Chakshura Miritam Yena Tasmai Shi Gurave Namaha. So there's several things going on here. First of all, Lord Vishnu is asking Shukracharya basically to admit that he made a mistake. Now this is going to be very hard for Shukracharya, but sometimes under what we call duress, that means threat, you know, Lord Vishnu's personally there, Shukracharya had to say something against his will, and we're going to hear about this a little later. Because Shukracharya was extremely angry at Lord Vishnu. Extremely angry. For several reasons. One reason is that Lord Vishnu had overridden his instruction to his guru, his disciple. Just imagine, I mean, I can imagine if I gave an instruction to the disciple and then the deities came down and said, no, don't follow the instruction of your guru. I don't know if I get angry at Krishna, but anyway. Can you imagine? That happens sometimes. Anyway, so, no, it hasn't happened yet. That's one reason. But I think the most important reason is that Lord Vishnu, in the form of Vamanadeva, had just blinded Shukracharya in one eye. What happened is that when Shukracharya was attempting to stop the giving of the benediction that Bali had promised Vamanadeva, he had a methodology that was very interesting. Because in order to give a benediction, let's say if someone asks for a benediction, or, you know, say I ask for a benediction, the Vedic system is you're supposed to take water from your water pot and pour a little bit of a person's hands. But in this case, when Bali Maharaj got his water pot out, was getting ready to pour a little bit onto the hands of Lord Vamanadeva, Shukracharya thought, we got to stop this. Just a materialistic adjustment. So it's described that he made himself very small. Some of the Shastras said he became a fly. Other Shastras say, you know, he made himself small. But anyway, the point is, he tried to keep the water from coming out of the water pot. And when he attempted to do that, you know, Bali Maharaj was taking the pot, turning it on its side or turning the front, and no water came out. So he was wondering. And Lord Vamanadeva said, okay, I'll take care of it. He took out some kusha grass and boom, poked the eye out of Shukracharya. So Shukracharya, and you've never met Shukracharya. Have any of you met Shukracharya? Anyway, so he's blind in one eye like that, because the eye is gone. And so that's enough to make you angry at someone the rest of your life, isn't it? When someone blinds you. And Shukracharya, he not only became angry then, of course now we're going to read about how he has to just like cool it. Because obviously, if the person is more powerful than you, asks you to say something nice, you've got to say something nice. Basically, Lord Vishnu has a gun to the head of, not literally, but figuratively, he has a gun to the head of Shukracharya, and he's saying, speak something nice about your disciple. Or, what is your disciple's fault? And of course, Shukracharya is not going to talk about the faults of his disciple. But in any case, then Shukracharya, his animosity or anger towards Vishnu became increased, and anger towards the demigods became increased even more. Originally, Shukracharya was envious of the demigods because he didn't get the position of head priest. In other words, there was some competition. Who would be the priest or the Brahmin of the demigods? And Brihaspati won. And Shukracharya was fried. Just like if you're in a business and there's competition, who will get a particular position? Like I have one disciple who works in a company where they give loans for cars. Anyway. And he wanted a higher position and someone else got that position. So you get angry at the person who gets the position and even angry at the company after a while because of that. So what happened is that Shukracharya got so angry, he thought, I'm going to just try to disturb the Lord's pastimes whenever he incarnates. So later on, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared. And of course, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission is what? Sankirtan. Chant the holy names congregationally. So Shukracharya thought, I'm going to teach the opposite. Don't chant the holy names congregationally. And he came out, his name was Rupa Kaviraj. Some of you actually may have heard of him. But he appeared to teach a mantra, an interesting mantra that they would chant. And the mantra says, only chant Hare Krishna and Japa, don't chant. And kirtan. Their kirtan was, don't chant kirtan. Can you imagine having a kirtan? Okay. Their kirtan was Nitai Gaur Radhesham Japa Hare Krishna Hare Rama. Because I have a song that says Nitai Gaur Radhesham Jai Krishna Balaram. That's different. That's Prabhupada gave us those words. But it's Nitai Gaur Radhesham Japa Hare Krishna Hare Rama. In other words, and they would have loud kirtans telling people not to have kirtan. Make sense? Doesn't make sense to me. Can you imagine? You go out there. Okay, everybody. Don't chant Hare Krishna. Don't chant Hare Krishna. Don't chant Hare Krishna loudly. Just chant it softly. Don't chant. Don't chant. And that was their kirtan. And they have a center right next to our Krishna Balaram Mandir in Vrindavan. And all night long they're chanting, don't chant Hare Krishna. It's actually kind of funny, but it's very disturbing. When I first was going to Vrindavan, I would stay in the temple in what's called the guest house of the temple. And every all night long, I couldn't sleep because I was hearing don't chant Hare Krishna and kirtan. And they were using gongs and enthusiastic. It's not that they were just chanting don't chant Hare Krishna. They were using big gong, boom, isn't it? Boom, 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 nitai gaur, that is some. Japa Hare Krishna. In other words, no kirtan for you. So that's the opposite. So that was Shukracharya. And Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, the spiritual master of His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada, the founder of Acharya Viskon and my divine master, he wanted to oppose this rascal. I can call him a rascal. So he wanted to oppose him, and this was in Jagannath Puri. And because this person had so many followers, and that's what you see in India sometimes, that some rascal will have so many followers. And it's unbelievable. I mean, you have people who declare themselves to be God, and they could produce some ashes, maybe. Ashes for the asses. Anyway, so they, and people thought they were God. And you have other temples where they worship rats. You heard about this before? Where they put rats on the altar. Anyway. It just, you know, you find everything in India. It's like a restaurant where you can offer, where you can order any type of food. Chinese, Japanese, Indian, Korean. There's everything there. I mean, the reason for that is because all religions started in India, so you have more variety in India. So anyway, so he had so many followers, getting back to the story, that Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur's life was threatened. There was going to be a riot. The crowd was going to attack Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, and they were going to kill him. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur, who was the father of Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, had to make arrangement for him just to save him, to take him out of Jagannath Puri. So that was Shukracharya. Okay. So that's one point here, just interesting history about Shukracharya. Of course, the word Shukracharya basically means a seminal guru or family guru, like Kula Guru. That in India, people have this like family guru. He may or may not be Krishna conscious. Sometimes he is, sometimes he's not. And it's just like an official guru. Sometimes we get people coming to Krishna consciousness and said, well, they say, oh, I already took initiation from my family guru. I can't take initiation in ISKCON. I said, that's all right. You can still take initiation in ISKCON because your family guru's initiation was just like materialistic. It was just your family guru. You get this all the time, especially when I'm in India. So Shukracharya, he was basically, you know, interested, of course that's called his family, and his sons, of course, were Sundanamarka, the two Gurukul teachers, or Asurakula teachers, of Prahlad Maharaj. So apart from Shukracharya, there's some very important points being made here in this verse. Indirectly, the point is being made that basically, devotional service, or Krishna consciousness, or Vaishnavism, is superior. This is what Lord Vishnu is hinting at, and Shukracharya will actually have to agree with him later on, that Vaishnavism is superior to the Brahminical, Vedic rituals. Now, if we look at the Vedic rituals, which are mentioned here, like if you go into the Rig Veda, for example, because we're talking about Vedic rituals, let's define what it means when Prabhupada says they're Vedic Brahmins, because it means something very specifically. Of course, ultimately, the word Vedic or Veda means knowledge, and Vedanta means the conclusion or the end of knowledge. But in this particular context, the Vedic Brahmanas means those who follow the Karmakanja section of the Vedas. Karmakanja means they're doing something, or sometimes Upasanakanja, for doing something for their own benefit. So, therefore you have the four, what's called the original Vedas, you know, the Rig, the Sama, Yatharva, Yajurveda. The Rig Veda, of course, is the Veda of hymns. Tarva Veda is the Veda where you have these curses and everything like that. Yajur is the Swaha business. You know, Swaha, 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 you know, sacrifices. And Samaveda is the Veda of like the music, the melodies, and different things like that. Anyway, how you chant the mantras. So if you look at the Rig Veda, most of the mantras there are worship of Indra and the demigods. It's interesting. So you would be hard-pressed to try to figure out, you know, who is the Supreme Personality of Godhead by reading the Rig Veda. Of course, there are some verses in the Rig Veda. Om Tad Vishnu Paramam Pada Vashanti Yat Surya. It says all the demigods are looking to Vishnu. So there are some verses, but basically the majority of stuff is to Indra and different demigods. Actually, today in India, you won't find practically anybody who worships Indra, which is interesting, isn't it? Quite interesting. Practically no one worships Indra. Practically no one worships Lord Brahma. Pushkar, he's worshipped, but practically nowhere else he's worshipped. Actually, in Thailand, it's interesting, you can find Lord Brahma being worshipped. They actually have deities, four-headed deities of Lord Brahma in Thailand. So, but in India, practically nothing. So basically, these are the ritualistic brahmanas, Shukracharya, etc., ritualistic brahmanas. Of course, we understand from the Gita and from the Vedanta Sutra and from the Bhagavatam, of course, the Gita itself says, 15:15, by all the Vedas I am to be known. So the purpose of the Vedas is Krishna, to know Krishna. But you have all these supplementary or preliminary literatures to ultimately bring you up to Krishna consciousness. So, but if one takes up Krishna consciousness, you don't have to do any of these rituals. Of course, sometimes if you can do these rituals because you're preaching to people who are attached to rituals. Just like Prabhupada, when he installed the deities in Vrindavan, he employed a lot of like ritualistic brahmanas in doing the fire sacrifice. But Prabhupada said to the devotees, he said, what really installed the deities was the Harinam Kirtan. It's stated in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Ekon Dharma, Krishna Nam Sankirtan. There's one dharma in Kali Yuga. Krishna Nam Sankirtan. Not fire sacrifices. I mean, we do them. Yes, we do them to increase the chanting. Because without the chanting, the fire sacrifice is useless. Without the chanting, the deity worship is useless. Without the chanting, everything is useless. Kalona stavana 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 gati ranyata. I mean, that's our philosophy. So, therefore, we're not so much concerned with all these Vedic literatures that are mentioned here. In fact, if one simply chants Hare Krishna, then one is, and surrenders to Krishna, like Bali Maharaj did, then even if one doesn't follow all these little tiny prescriptions, then that's all right. And I'll give a practical example from Krishna's pastimes that illustrates that. Once upon a time, there were these Vedic brahmanas, they were called the Yajnik brahmanas. They'd like to do fire sacrifice. Actually, a Yajnik brahmana will keep a fire sacrifice going in his house all the time. You ever heard about that before? A real brahmana, they'll actually have a fire sacrifice, you know, fire going all the time. That's why they have this saying in English, keep the home fires burning. Anyway. So these Yajnik brahmanas, this is a story from the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. They were doing this elaborate fire sacrifice. Krishna wanted to show how they were basically in Maya. And he wanted to show how devotion is superior. And he wanted to show how their wives were real devotees. So what happened is that Krishna and his coward boys, they were pasturing the cows. And then Krishna said, I'm very hungry. So nearby, there's some brahmanas doing sacrifice, and they have all this stuff. You know, just like when we have sacrifice, you offer fruit and bananas and all sorts of things to the fire. So Krishna said, it's the time right now before they offer it, you know, the right time. So why don't you ask them for all this food that they're going to sacrifice? And Krishna said, Krishna was very intelligent. He's the best politician. He said, better you ask for the food in the name of Balaram rather than me. Because everyone was thinking Krishna's a Vaishya. But at least Balaram, everybody knew, was a Kshatriya. Everybody knew. That was common knowledge that he was Vasudeva's son. Very common knowledge. But it wasn't common knowledge that Krishna was Vasudeva's son. Everyone thought he was Nanda Maharaj's son, Yashodamayi's son. So, basically, for a Vaishya to start begging for Brahmins, you know, that's pretty bad. Really bad. It's less bad for a Kshatriya. So anyway, so the coward boys go to these Brahmins, ritualistic Brahmins, and they say to the ritualistic Brahmins, please, actually they even said Krishna was hungry, but anyway, they didn't, because they love Krishna so much, they couldn't stop saying his name, which is interesting. Krishna Balaram. And the Brahmanas, basically they just ignored them. They didn't even look at them. They just thought, you know, these stupid kids. Let's not even pay it. They didn't even say Hare Krishna to them. Or anyway. So the boys got very frustrated and they went back. They said, you know, these Brahmanas wouldn't even talk to us. So you can hear the reaction the Brahmanas got for this. So Krishna said, go back and talk to their wives. He said, women are more intelligent. Anyway, so he said, go back and talk to their wives. And their wives will, are devotees. They'll certainly give whatever you ask. So they went back and they said to the wives, Krishna is hungry. And the wives, without even thinking about it, just grabbed all the food that was meant for the sacrifice. And brought it to Krishna. And their husbands were saying to them, where are you going, dear? You know, Priya, where are you going? And the same thing that happened to the coward boys, in other words, the Brahmanas didn't even look at the coward boys, the wives didn't even look at their husbands. This is a good wife. Right? This is how a wife should be, anyway. So the wives didn't even look at their husbands and they brought all the food to the coward boys and Krishna. And then the wives, they just said, when they got there, they brought all the food, they were very happy, and they said, we're not going back to those husbands anymore. Because they're going to be really angry. Plus, we want to stay with you, Krishna. So Krishna, they actually had some conjugal affection for Krishna. But anyway, Krishna said, go back. I'll make sure, you know, I'm dwelling in their hearts. Actually, some of this information from the Ananda Vrindavan Champu by Kavi Parnapur, which is really interesting. I'm dwelling in their hearts. I'll make sure they're nice to you. Because husbands sometimes can be a little mean. So therefore, Krishna said, don't worry, they won't get angry with you. So basically they went back and they're husbands realized that they had made a big mistake, even though they were these really expert brahmanas, you know, Trivedis, Chaturvedis, Dwivedis, Sharmas, whatever. You have all these Brahminical names here. So they understood they had made a big mistake. And they said, the hell with us being brahmanas. Even they understood, they said, what is the use of our Brahminical culture if we can't serve Krishna? But still, it's interesting, they didn't go to see Krishna. And Prabhupada explains that the reason they didn't go to see Krishna was because they were scared of Kamsa. Whereas their wives were not scared of them or Kamsa or anybody. They were just completely attracted to serving Krishna. So that's Krishna consciousness. So, therefore, we understand the superiority. But at the same time, we do sometimes Vedic rituals. Prabhupada explained that certain procedures, rituals, even parts of the Hari Bhakti Vilas are applicable in India, but they may not be applicable in other countries in the West or in other countries like that. In other words, we do what's necessary for preaching. If we can attract people of Krishna consciousness, will do a big fire sacrifice. And if it doesn't work, we'll do something else. If it attracts people to Krishna, we'll play Indian music. And if it attracts people to Krishna, we'll play Bollywood music. If that would attract Krishna. I don't think it would, right? Or Western music, whatever works. Because the whole point is somehow or other get people to take up Krishna consciousness. And once they take up Krishna consciousness, then there's a very interesting verse that Prabhupada would often quote. Satkarma nipano vipro, mantra tantra visharada. Vaishnava guru nashat, Vaishnava swapacho guru. Anyone's heard that verse before? Interesting verse. It says that even if a Brahmin knows mantra, tantra, of course tantra doesn't mean something bad, it just means connection, and a ritual that connects. Sometimes people think the word tantra means like someone who's tantric. It doesn't. That tantra means like rituals that connect. So someone who knows mantra, tantra, all the mantras, all the tantras, but he's not a Vaishnava. He's not a guru. But one who knows Krishna, who's a Vaishnava, even if he's swapacha. Swapacha means dog eater. That's pretty low. Of course, I don't think people eat dogs here, no. They do. On the islands? The Indians eat dogs?
The Fijians.
Okay. So, even if one is born in a family of dog eaters, actually there's a story where devotees were preaching in Korea or something like that. Then they would have this delicacy called liquid dog. You heard about this before? They would, everybody would put all the dead bodies of the animals that would die, and they put them in a big container, and they'd let it ferment, and then they'd take the drink from it. It's called liquid dog. Anyway, so, Bhakti, the devotees were there preaching, and whenever they opened up the container, the devotees got sick. But whenever the devotees started cooking with ghee, all those people got sick. Anyway. You see? You know, what is nighttime for the self-realized soul? Is daytime for the materialistic person and vice versa. So therefore, I mean, low class means like dog eater. But if someone is a Vaishnava, swapacho, guru. So if one is a Vaishnava, if one knows the science of Krishna, kiva vipra, kiva vnyasi, shuja kenan, ye Krishna tattva veta se guru hoy, according to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then they can be considered guru. But if one knows all the rituals and they're not a Vaishnava, what's the use of all these rituals? So this is a very important point that's being made here and will be made later on. Even Shukracharya will apparently agree with it under force from Lord Vishnu. So, any questions or comments? Questions, comments, problems, issues? Gargamuni, you have a question?
I have something related to all the instruments.
Okay.
When you were saying that to become detached, one has to become attached to Lord of the devotees of the sentient persons.
Yeah.
What would be some practical ways to develop this attachment?
You hear about these saintly persons. It's not that you just, I mean, first of all, it's not that you just look at the body and say, oh, that saintly person, he sure looks good. Not like a Bollywood star, you know. You know, wow. Vivek Oberoi, or who's that Bollywood star I gave a Gita to again? Ashok Kumar. Akshay Kumar. Not Ashok. Akshay Kumar, I gave the Gita. And the only way I could get to see him, actually it's interesting, is I had one of the ladies go to see him because, you know, a young lady can go to see him anytime. Anyway, so. So the ladies hear his name, Akshay Kumar. Wow. I see all the girls here, their eyes open wide as they sit in the isn't it? And if I say to the men, some actress Ronnie Morgan Jr. Anyway, so the point is, one gets attached to the spiritual personalities by hearing from them and hearing about them. That's why I stress hearing Prabhupada's biography, like Leelamrita. So many books we have about Prabhupada. There's a very interesting book that was written by one of my god sisters, Yamuna Devi, who was with Prabhupada practically from the very beginning. And she writes how Prabhupada... Has anyone read this book? No? Because all you ladies should read this book, because you see how Prabhupada dealt with the ladies in the Krishna conscious movement. He allowed them to do different things. He wasn't just like keeping them down, just roll your puddles. Roll your buddies. So Prabhupada, yeah, anyway, so you read these books, and then you really, Prabhupada biography, you really get a chance to appreciate Prabhupada. Otherwise, if you just look at Prabhupada's form, you know, it's called Vapa, that's okay, that's spiritual too. But you really have to get to know someone by hearing what they say and what they do. How can you know about the guru before by looking at him? What are you going to see? Just simply your own, conception. But hearing is the process. Bhavanti Ritkarna Rasayana Kata Joshana Rashopapar. So we hear about the great devotees, we hear about Krishna. That's how we know Krishna too. I mean, yes, we see the deities, but how do you know Krishna by looking at the deities? I mean, so many people come on our festivals and look at the deities and they don't know anything about Krishna. People come and then they say, especially in the Hindu society, they say, the gods. You ever hear that? They go to a temple and say, hey, there's the gods. Shiva, Ganesh, Mahavir. And even I went to a disciple's house yesterday. Buddha is there. Big Buddha meditating. Right? Anyway, so the gods. No, he's not a... Anyway, he knows Krishna's God. But just by looking at the deities, you're not going to figure out... I mean, if you're super intelligent, you will figure out Krishna's the Supreme Personality of Godhead, because everybody else is working when you go to a Hindu temple, and Krishna's the only one who's playing a flute with his girlfriend. Anyway, therefore you figure out it must be God because he's on vacation. Everyone else is working. They only get 2 weeks a year of vacation. Anyway, just like in the Christian theology, God only gets 1 day a week vacation. Right? Anybody know about this? The Sabbath? God created the world in 6 days, and the seventh day he was tired. So he went to Fiji. So anyway, for vacation. So just by looking at the deities are beautiful, you get spiritual benefit, but you will never figure out basically anything about Krishna. You've got to hear. So just by looking at the guru, looking at Prabhupada, you never figure out who Prabhupada is. You got to hear. And that's the problem. Practically every religion, they worship some founder acharya. This is very interesting. Well, like the Christian religion. But they don't try to figure out what Jesus wanted them to do. It's interesting, when a religion starts, you got some founder, founder acharya like Jesus Christ, Muhammad, great, pure devotees, Shaktivesh avatars, Prabhupada, of course. It starts, they give some instructions, then within one or two generations, they elevate them so high that they don't, in other words, they're so great we could never become like them. Everybody is fallen. You ever hear this in Christianity? Everyone is sinful. He died for our sins. Where did Jesus Christ ever say he died for someone's sins? Where did the guru ever say, I died for your sins? But so they put someone up, they put the guru so high that he's no longer an example for you. He's just someone you worship to excuse yourself from any damn thing that you do in life. And I see that a lot of times with people in this kind. Oh, they love Prabhupada. Oh, they really love Prabhupada. But why are they doing so much nonsense? But you have to understand in their hearts, they love Prabhupada. Do you hear that? They really love Prabhupada. But if you love someone, you'll do what they want. What does this love mean? I mean, it's just like in the 1960s, people loved the Beatles. But they needed bodyguards to protect themselves from all the people who loved them because they would have torn them apart. All those girls screaming, I don't know if any of you saw it in these pictures, all these girls screaming would have grabbed George Harrison's arm and torn it off as a memento. That's how much love they had. So, you know, it's just like, what does Guru Bhakti mean? Guru Bhakti means you follow instructions and you do what pleases them. So that's what we want to maintain Prabhupada as the founder Acharya. That's why Prabhupada said founder Acharya. He started it and he's our example. And example means you've got to learn what that example is. If you want to, so read the biographies. I was inspired by this biography of Jamuna Devi. Of course, there's the Prabhupada Leelamrita. There's books by so many of my godbrothers about their interactions with Prabhupada. There's a whole video series, The Memories of Srila Prabhupada, and Bhagavati and Vasudeva on some of them, isn't it? I remember recording some of those things. And it's wonderful. Then you understand how to be a devotee. I would not know how to be a devotee unless I saw Prabhupada's example. Isn't it? I mean, how would you know? How would you know what to do? If you just read Bhagavad Gita, let's say if you read Bhagavad Gita, what am I supposed to do? Well, chant Hare Krishna, maybe. But, you know, what's a temple? What's you supposed to do in a temple? All these are given to us by Srila Prabhupada, his teachings and examples. How do men and women interact? I mean, how to treat women, like I mentioned this before, is one of the subject matters, favorite subject matters. That, you know, should they be allowed to be gurus? That's a big question. Any of you ladies want to be gurus? Raise your hand. Zaki, you want to be guru? Now you better ask your husband for permission. So but the point is that Prabhupada actually directly said, all my disciples, both boys and girls, or men and women, whatever it's in this particular context, is be gurus. So how do you find out? You know, that's what Prabhupada said. Prabhupada did. So therefore, that's extremely, just as important as reading Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita, as you read and hear about Prabhupada, what he did. Does that make sense? Otherwise, how can you become attached to Prabhupada? Because you'll be attached, just like we talked yesterday, that people say they're very attached to Ram during the Ram Nomi time. Okay, so for 9 days they're vegetarians. Then after the 9th day, whatever Ram wants, forget. Does that mean they love Ram? No. It's like the husband and wife love each other only during the wedding anniversary. Can you imagine? You know, all right, wedding anniversary. Oh, I love you. Here's some jewelry. And the next day, shut up. Get out of my face. You know. That's the love of Ram. It's hypocritical. Because love for Ram means every day you worship, serve, and follow Ram. Why 9 days? 365, 366 on leap year. But then, you know, it's like that. It's like that. Sometimes Christians they'll do so many nonsense things, but on Sunday they behave themselves. I always give that example. There was a movie when I was young called Never on Sunday. It was about a prostitute. Every day of the week, 6 days of the week, she was doing her business. On Sunday, she was extremely religious. That's like following Ram Navami. It's like the rest of the year, you're a prostitute. But during a few days, you're very pious. What's the use? Isn't it just like... Anyway, I'll just end with this one thing. One of my disciples was asked whether she would host a Ram Navami at her house. And I said, are the people who are going to do it vegetarians? And the answer was, they will be vegetarians during Ram Navami. Huh? Anyway. Yeah, try that with your wife just once a year ahead of the wedding anniversary. It'd be nice to her. Okay, on that happy note, thank you very much. Oh, Mishi, you're here again. Abhay, say hello to Haribam. To your husband, Abhay. And Radha Sharan, Vasika Devi Dasa. Thank you all for joining us.